you know, I was on Martha's Vineyard. It was probably towards the end of June somewhere when I first got my copy. My brother Alex had a record store. He got a shipment of them, held a couple back, but they went immediately. And, you know, I remember it being just another step. The thing that you know, I found so remarkable about the Beatles was that they continued to grow, you know, musically and lyrically, and brought the entire culture. You know, it was such a point, 1967, the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, where the height of the post-war baby boom, the population bubble that I was sort of in the center of, was approaching 20 years old, going to college, or some cases dropping out. But it was such a powerful, you know, being a part of that generation was, and the music that was associated with it, and the sort of revolution in FM radio, and the way we basically communicated and sort of self-identified through the music, and the fact that the Beatles just continued to grow and carry us through it, you know, it was amazing. And of course, Sgt. Pepper's album was so revolutionary. It was so it was such a huge step, and it followed other huge steps too. All of them also huge strides in what they were writing, what they were, the amazing volume of stuff that Lennon, McCartney, and Harrison were generating. Damn, you know, and to sit down and to pore over that album cover, which basically claimed that they were dead and reborn, in a sense that had a huge tongue-in-cheek aspect, you know, referring back to the Liverpool, Northern England brass bands that were so, they were a part of the White Album, bringing in some of those bands, McCartney did. And then this crowd of people on the cover that we would pore through and see if we could, you know, identify, you know, Albert Schweitzer and Karl Marx and Albert Einstein and Marlon Brando and you know, Bob Dylan was there, I think. You know, it was just, the entire thing was amazing, but you know, all of that sort of cultural stuff just paled in comparison to the music itself. It really is a fabulous collection of songs. A year later, they were in the middle of I think recording the White Album at Trident Studios. Every year, less than a year, they would come out with another opus, and it just stretched it. You know, it was great. I wasn't a particular Beatles fan in the beginning, with I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You. And, you know, I thought they were good pop music, but I didn't see what the big deal was. And then they just kept on going. And I think that period of time between 65 and 75 was, you know, was really an amazing, that was an amazing stretch, you know, just so much being generated. And we're still sort of living off it today. It was a moment of emergence of a very hopeful time, a very idealistic time, you know, when it seemed as though we might be on the edge of a new world. And the Beatles were talking about it. They did a fair amount of sort of social commentary and on this album and on others. It's difficult to say what will last, but I'm pretty sure Sgt. Pepper's will. As a piece, you know, as a, not just individual songs from it, but really as the entire album is just remarkably strong. It's just it's sort of like the pinnacle, the apex of the Beatles. I loved A Little Help from My Friends just immediately. She's Leaving Home was just, it just floored me. It had a harp in it. In its arrangement, George Harrison wrote a harp into it, and he sounded like a string quartet or a very small number of strings that he wrote for. You could hear that the cello, that line that accompanied the sort of the interstices in the lyrics. Man, it was pretty fab. Within You, Without You, I really thought was, first of all, it was the first song on the second side. And it began with, we were talking about the love between us all. And I just said, wow, great way to continue the album. You turn it over and it says, "We were talking about." Wow. It included us. It spoke directly to us. You know? I think the other thing is that Sgt. Pepper's, it acknowledged Lennon McCartney's roots. It went back to When I'm 64, songs like When I'm 64 and songs like the concept of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which was like a psychedelic version of the brass bands, the company bands that were such a big deal in Northern England. That sort of music hall thing, the music hall and Broadway and the sort of pseudo-classical music of the brass bands, it was directly referred to in Sgt. Pepper's. So the Beatles had an extremely broad base. They came out of rock and roll, rockabilly, rhythm and blues, but also music hall variety sort of songs, songs that were, a very sophisticated sources to their writing. And I think that sophistication, how musical their roots were, was vital to what they could eventually write and compose. And I think that they pass it on. I know that I refer daily in my playing and my writing and my improvising to the Beatles and what they passed on. But I also have, my roots are basically Broadway show tunes from the 1950s and my parents' record collection of sort of accessible jazz, light classics, and Broadway, as well as folk music. And, they had very, very diverse taste in music. And I definitely refer to that all the time. I'm very aware of the Beatles doing the same thing.